Blog Talk Radio.
You know what gang violence is? Mostly, and the people don't want you to hear this, somebody shoots your family member. So, of course, you retaliate.
Right,
you know what I mean? Same thing the U.S. does, except nobody even shot their family members. You know, some they see somebody bomb a school and all these people get killed, so the United States feel like, ooh, that's messed up. We got to go show them who's the real killer. This country was built on gangs. You know, I think this country still is run on gangs. Republicans, Democrats, the police department, the FBI, the CIA, those are gangs. You know what I mean? The correctional officers. I had a correctional officer tell me straight up, we the biggest gang in New York State. Straight up.
It's a
fucking
revolution, a premeditated scheme, introducing drugs on crack. Ghetto teams got along for war, niggas now play of what it be like. When will niggas see they got us leading with three strikes? Can't seem to focus, hopeless. With violent thoughts, I'm hopeless. Got the devil petrified, hiding from my hopes of focus. And so I learn to earn my currency in overtime. Affiliated, clearly click a military mind. May God forgive us, so we dwell inside of paradise. Thugged out and drug dealing from the womb to the block. My live mind got me surviving five rounds. My 45 got me fortified with live rounds. When shit dick, we block hit. When I drop six, all hell, I don't bail, wrath of apocalypse. Forever ghetto, necessary picture food stamp. Outlaw thug niggas never left the food
stamp. We got a real object from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back.
DJ
from my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death. When I fuck my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death. We got the real object from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back. When my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death. When I fuck my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death.
Now I was born as a rebel, making trouble for the devil. Take this gangbang shit to a whole nother level. Can you feel me now? Armies in every city, definition of power. Players, are you ready to see the war? It's the prophecy, survival is the strategy. Rest in peace to my comrades, that's the seat. Walking out the streets of time, yeah, these devils petrified of a nigga in his right mind. They tell us that we hopeless and hellbound. It's for the brothers and penitentiary, damn, damn. I got you in my heart till the day I die. Think of the damage we could do if we wasn't high. Can you picture me low? It's the thug rap. Political contracts and bloodbath. From a Tulsa core up in the rockets, though they got you. I never let them stop me. The struggle continues.
Now, if we do want to live a thug life and a gangster life and all of that, okay. So stop being cowards and let's have a revolution. But we don't want to do that. Dudes just want to live a character. They want to be cartoons. But if they really wanted to do something, it was that tough. All right, let's start our own country. Let's start a revolution. Let's get out of here. Let's do something.
Real object from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back. When my soldiers to death, when my soldiers to death. When I fuck my soldiers to death, when my soldiers to death. We got the real object from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back. When my soldiers to death, when my soldiers to death. When I fuck my soldiers to death, when my soldiers to death. Come on.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer,
yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson,
I'm sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see to that. You hear him where it hurts?
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This is the military, baby.
Free land, revolutionary greens.
Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Bumon Shakur. And our goals, my Bumon is sure, secure where y'all go, where our goals are fivefold. Hold up. Okay. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to new African mentalities. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African community. Our fifth goal is to prepare new African prisoners for release, reduce new African citizenship. Before I bring on the guest tonight, I'm going to go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week. On March the 7th, 1870, Governor William W. Holder of North Carolina denounced the Klan violence and issued a proclamation declaring Almanac County in a state of insurrection. 1927, Supreme Court decision, Nixon versus Herndon, struck down Texas law that barred blacks from voting in white primary. 1942, the first cadet graduated from flying school at Tuskegee. 1961, Atlanta Chamber of Commerce announced that black and white leaders had agreed on a plan for desegregation of locker rooms and other facilities. 600 peaceful voting rights demonstrators attacked by polling cell out of 1965. On March 8, 1876, the Senate refused to seat PBS Pinchback of Louisiana. In 1960, Montgomery, Alabama police broke a protest demonstration on Alabama State campus and arrested 35 students, a teacher, and her husband. Supreme Court ruled that employers cannot use job tests that had the effect of screening out blacks and other minorities in 1971 in Pennsylvania. The Citizens Commission to investigate the FBI raid, FBI office exposed COINTELPRO documents. 1977, Henry L. Marshall III elected mayor of Richmond, Virginia. 1988, President candidate Jesse Jackson won five state primary on Super Tuesday. On March 9, 1841, U.S. Supreme Court freed Joseph Sinque and the Amistad rebels, ruling that they were free persons. 1911, white firemen of the Cincinnati, New Orleans, and Texas Pacific Railroad scrub to protest the hiring of black firemen. 1931, Walter F. White named NAACP Executive Secretary. In 1951, Kutbah Jeetu, new African revolutionary nationalist, former new African political prisoner, turned 70. 1961, Clifford R. Wharton Sr. sworn in as ambassador to Norway. 1963, Carl T. Rowan named ambassador to Finland. 1966, Andrew F. Breimer became the first black governor of the Federal Reserve Board. On today's date, on March 10, 1863, two infantry regiments, 1st and 2nd South Carolina Volunteers, captured and occupied Jacksonville, Florida, caused a panic along the southern seaboard. 1913, Harriet Tubman, abolition, underground railroad conductor, and Union Army spy and commander, died in Auburn, New York, at the age of 92. 1945, Hugo Yoder Pinal, San Quentin City political prisoner, born today. He will be 76 years old. He was assassinated on August 12, 2014. In 1969, James Earl Ray pleaded guilty in a Memphis court to charge of killing Martin Luther King Jr. He was sentenced to 99 years in prison. The House Select Committee on Assassination said later that Ray fired the shot that killed King, but that he was probably one element in a larger conspiracy. In 1972, from March the 10th to March the 12th, 3,000 delegates and 5,000 observers attended the first National Black Political Convention in Gary, Indiana. The NAACP and other groups withdraw from the convention after the adoption of a resolution critical of busing and the state of Israel. The group also adopted a resolution calling for a guaranteed annual income and a massive economic development plan for Black America. They also were talking about reparations. In 1988, the Dartmouth College administration disciplined four white students accused of harassing a Black professor. On March 11, 1874, Frederick Devlin named president of the failing Freedmen's Bank. 1887, Charles A.J. Taylor of Kansas named minister to Liberia. He resigned November 11, 1887. 1895, from the 11th through the 12th, New Orleans laborers attacked by white, six Blacks were killed. In 1956, the 11th through the 12th, a manifesto denounced the Supreme Court ruling on segregation in public school issued by 100 Southern senators and representatives. In 1959, A Raisin in the Sun, the first Broadway play by a Black woman, opened at Barrymore Theater with Sidney Poitier and Claudia McNeil in the starring roles. Lorraine Hatchberry drama was the first Broadway play with a Black director, Laura Richards, in the modern era. In 2006, in New England, former Black Panther Mondo Wilango dies after 44 years in prison. He was a political prisoner. Okay. On March 12, 1791, Benjamin Banneker, the African mathematician and astronomer, served on the commission that surveyed the 10-mile square area set aside for the nation's capital. The Georgetown Weekly Ledger of March 12, 1791, noted the arrival of the coordinators of the survey, Pierre-Charles Lafayette, the brilliant and temperamental French engineer who drew up the original plans, and Major Andrew Ellicott, who were attended by Benjamin Banneker, an Ethiopian, whose abilities as surveyor and astronomer already proved that Mr. Thomas Jefferson concluded that the African race of men were void of mental endowment was without foundation. This was probably the first government appointment received by an African. Okay, hello. In 1864, two New Orleans Black leaders, engineer Jean Baptiste Rodenaus and wine merchant Arnold Barrentine, carried a petition to the White House asking for equal rights and ballots. Lincoln rejected the petition, saying that he did nothing in matters of this kind upon moral ground, but solely upon political necessities. In 1945, first state fair employment practice a law signed by the New York governor. In 1955, saxophonist Charlie Bird Parker, one of the founders of the modern jazz movement, died in New York City at the age of 34. In 1960, Porter used tear gas to break up students' protest demonstration at Tallahassee, Florida. In 1964, Malcolm resigned for the Nation of Islam. Also, in March 12, 1976, in Washington, Gerald Washington Brigade member Mark Cook was captured and went to prison. Okay. On March 13, 1862, Congress changed the military code and forbade Union officers and troops to aid in the capture and return of fugitive slaves, ending what one historian called the military slave hunt. 1864, Lincoln sent a private letter to Michael Hunn, who had been elected governor of Louisiana, with his support, suggesting for his private consideration whether some of the colored people may not be let in as voters, especially the very intelligent and Union veterans. Hunn ignored the suggestion. 1865, Jefferson Davis signed a bill authorizing use of slaves as soldiers in the Confederate Army. 1869, Arkansas legislation passed anti-Klan law. 1946, Colonel Benjamin O. Davis Jr. assumed command of Lockbourn Fort Base in Ohio. 1970, Senate extended the Voting Rights Act of 1965 to 1975. Mason and Granada overthrew Eric Gowrie and established the People Revolutionary Government in 1979. 1984, Republican James L. Ussery elected the first black mayor of Atlantic City, New Jersey. By we talking about initially, I don't want to read in regards to it's about some of the original cabinet, who the people are, and identify then the people are telling about the people in the cabinet. The first office of the provisional government reflects its broad composition at its birth. The first complete provisional government cabinet was as follows: President Robert Williams, ex-NAACP leader in Monroe, North Carolina, a revolution action movement activist. William went to exile in 1961 after organized armed self-defense among blacks against the KKK in Monroe. The exile was precipitated by trumped up criminal charges, the accused of kidnapping a white couple. William was still in exile when elected, but said the RNA presidency in June 1968 and a prayer cup at a new African hotel in Tanzania. Gadi Abadeli and Mar Abadeli were present. The first vice president, Gadi Abadeli, a.k.a. Milton Henry, civil rights activist in Philadelphia, Detroit, and U.S. Army, militant black lawyer and leader in Detroit, group on advanced leadership goal, the Freedom Now Party, Malcolm X Society. Gadi was a friend of Malcolm X. The second vice president, Betty Shabazz, wife of slain New York New African hero, Malcolm X. Minister of Information, Amari Abadeli, the first, a.k.a. Richard Henry, Sr., president of GOLD, and Malcolm X Society, and brother of Gadi Abadeli. Minister of Health and Welfare, Queen Mother Audley Moore, 77-year-old national activist, leader of the League of Ethiopian Women, ex-member of the Communist Party of USA, Farmer Garveyite, Minister of Education, Herman Ferguson, black activist and educator from Brooklyn, New York, a reported member of the Revolutionary Action Movement, Minister of State and Foreign Affairs, William Granton from Cleveland, Ohio, former member of the Communist Party of USA, Minister of Defense, H. Wright Brown, former SNCC leader, General Wasey Chua, leader of the Black League for Dayton, Ohio, Minister of Culture, Imam Amira Baraki, black poet, playwright, director of the Committee for Unified New York, Malanga Ron Karinga, chairman of the US Organization in Los Angeles, Baba Adefumi, a surgeon Adefumi, leader of Yerba-Kina, United States, Minister of Justice, Joanne Franklin, a New York attorney, Minister of Finance, Raymond Willis, civil rights activist and student, now lawyer in Detroit, Special Ambassador Max Stanford, leader of RAM and founder of APP, former SNCC organizer. I like to say free land, although identified land, revolutionary ingredients, free out of political prisoners. I would thank everybody who been joining us since 2014 on their broadcast. Thank the people participating. Thank all the guests who have been involved in our broadcast, who have been educating the mighty mass of the people since then and now. I want to salute all the individuals who are currently educating themselves in all levels and planes, from the streets to the prison, you know, be it not the cell, be it educational, maybe, be it the university, college, or whatever. And I'd like to proudly welcome to the show tonight the New African Nation Coordinating Committee, Planning Committee. Hold up and open everybody line up. Let me see. Free land, brother Aki. Yeah.
Free land. Yes, brother, I'm here.
Okay. Free land, Sister Zada and Brother Bumani, y'all there?
Free the land, we here.
We here, brother. Peace.
Okay, peace. Free land. Free land, Elder Mama Connie, you there?
Danny, I am here. Free the land.
Okay. Body Minister. Free the land, President Samat. Are you there?
I am present. Free the land.
Okay. Body Minister. Free the land. First President. Mama Ayo, are you there?
I am. I will. I am present. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. First off, thank you all for coming to our broadcast to show you not to an understanding. I want to thank you all for your contribution, your committee in the past, the president Wayne committee in the future. And I want to say free the land. And let's get the thing popping. Let's get it popping, you know. Let's get the thing popping.
I will.
True indeed. The first question is for anybody who want to answer, right? What actually New African Nation Day? Basically, what is it, what New African Nation Day? What does it mean to you? Anybody can answer. All y'all can answer if you want to.
To begin. Okay, free the land. Well, New African Nation Day is a celebration that we do every single year commemorating the founding of our nation, the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa, March 31st, 1968, where we had 500 delegates meet in Detroit to, you know, meet over a couple of days to hash out the foundings of our nation and to create our Declaration of Independence, which was signed by 100 of those delegates on. So we always commemorate March 31st, the founding of our nation, and we usually do the closest. We usually celebrate in terms of New African Nation Day weekend, we usually celebrate the closest weekend available to that March 31st date. So this year, our celebration is during our AM 53, and we are celebrating March 26th, Friday, March 26th through March 28th, Sunday, March 28th. We will, on that Friday, be, of course, the PCC and the PRLC will meet. And then that Saturday, because we are really zeroing in and focusing on rebuilding our nation, we have our Saturday set up for unit structure. So we'll be going over some pertinent documents. We'll open it up for discussion. We want to hear from all beings that have registered for this event. This is a registered event, that you have to register on event, right? I'll get to that part in a second. But we really want the citizens to know and to comprehend the importance of study, work study, training in terms of developing the infrastructure for our government so that we can have even development across the board. And then, of course, on that Sunday, we'll be recapping our weekend, giving out some assignments, what it is that we want to accomplish within the next year, and then we'll do a brief history of the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa, and we'll close out. But this weekend is just extremely important in terms of just celebrating our founding, celebrating our founding mothers and fathers, their intent, their love for their people, and then letting it be known that that love continues. That love for our people and the drive and the hunger to be independent and free is continuing on. I give it back.
Oh, okay. We also got two other members of the NAN Planning Committee on Freeland Bible General Rush. You got?
We got TBC. Free the land. I'm here.
Okay. I want you to chime in. I just asked what actually Nation Day, right? Could you tell them more about what happened in March 31st, 1968, since you were there in 1999? Could you tell them more about that particular day, what happened there during that day?
I think you did a very good job talking about it. You know, we had a part of it at the Black Madonna, which was a black church up there. We had part of it, you know, at the 40 Grand Hotel. The 40 Grand Hotel, I'm sorry, 20 Grand, I'm sorry, apologize. 20 Grand Hotel. That was where the actual signing took place. We had different workshops at that, and one of the colleges there in Cleveland also gave us some space. So it was a very dangerous situation because they had the police, they had helicopters flying above, they had the National Guard, so all of them was there. They told us we were going to come to Detroit and do that, so we disobeyed them and did it anyway. That group of people were kind some people who were ready to separate. But when they talk about that whole thing, they're talking about the people who attended, who was registered. They didn't talk about the soldiers. They didn't talk about some of the people in the community that was mad, too, that was at that convention. So all of it just didn't get recorded. But, you know, we went to Detroit thinking we might not come back. But all credit is due to the Creator. It turned out all right. Afterward was when we had the problem. Because the first anniversary, that was when we had the that followed up to that. So.
Indeed. The title, New Bethel Church. True indeed. We also got one more person in there, committee on. Let me chime in. Black Cloud, you there, brother?
Yeah, pretty loud, brother.
Free line. Okay. Got everybody on, right? Get everybody on. It's interesting now what Nation Day about to take place, right? That Nation Day about to take place, man. It's all good for people to know the history, to know the particular people that was involved, and know the particular mission, the particular goal and objective. My next question is, what why is it important for people to have self-determination, and what does self-determination mean to everybody individually, as in particular? What does self-determination mean? The question for anybody who want to answer.
Go ahead. Free the land. It's Brother Bomani in Birmingham.
Okay, go ahead.
Self-determination
bro.
To us means. Us determination, or we determination, the power to make our own choices as it relates to us as a people, a nation, a community, and also having the power to defend defend those ideologies, you know, to defend what we call this self-determination, we determination, or us determination. Again, it's something that's a human right, and, you know, it's just the power to determine one's own will and the power to defend that if necessary. I yield there.
Okay. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
This is Mama Ayo. I think that self-determination comes with a kind of a mindset of who you want to be on the planet, who you are as a being that has certain basic rights. You have the right to live. You have the right to education. You have the right to have food, clothing, shelter, water. You have the right to have great health, to eat the types of foods. You have the right to be free within certain boundaries. Culturally, you have the right to practice the culture that you believe in, the spirituality that you believe in. And when we talk about that from a New African perspective, we have determined that we have been under 400 years of oppression. We have been beaten. We have been sexualized. We have been moralized from a different, what we call a capitalistic white supremacist Caucasoid perspective, and we decide to become New Africans. That means we begin to see ourselves in a different light. We have a right to sing our songs, to dance, to promote our heroes and sheroes, to promote the culture that we feel will keep us more in balance and in a harmonious relationship with the earth. And we also know that it is going to be a battle, because we know that as a New African, it takes a lot of work internally and externally. So we begin with self. We work with reshaping our family structures, reshaping what our communities want to look like, and then our relationship with other melanated beings on the planet and the indigenous and the entire African world. So it is an ongoing process for all of us because we are, of course, faced with everyday problems, world problems, problems of just living, problems of a lot of stimuli, negative stimuli, most of it impeding on our right to who our true selves are as new African beings. So that self-determination is a daily work. It is a daily struggle. It is constantly being faced with contradictions and knowing who you are, because it's one of the things that we are finding under the Ministry of Health and Society is that who and what are our models for being new Africans? We are shaping as we go along and as we are bringing in the youth and families and more melanated beings who say they're getting tired of whatever system they're under and they want something different. So it's incumbent upon us to show them what self-determination will look like, what it will sound like. I yield.
Okay. Anybody else have something to add with that?
This is Elder Mama Condi, Free the Land. It is the best synonym that I can think of for self-determination is empowerment. Self-determination allows us to do anything, everything, and all things that are necessary that benefits us as a people and is in our best interest. When that happens, we are empowered. I yield.
Okay. Anybody else wants to add something? My next question. Okay. My next question is how exactly did a new African arrive? How did a new African come to be? What is a new African? What is the historical origin of a new African? For the people who don't know, on the educational level, on the historical level, what actually is a new African? How did a new African come to be? Anybody can answer that.
I don't quite understand the question.
My question is, how exactly did new African come to be? What conditions? What took place for new African to come about?
Okay, we had the concept of we are an African people. We are this. We are that. But we are a little bit different than most people who came together in other countries, because we accept anybody of African descent based on the fact that the United States government and the United States of the world, with the European nations, said if you have one drop of African blood, that you therefore are at that time Negro, because it started with that. And so we decided that we of African descent, most of us are not pure Africans, but we are African people because we came from that lot of people. So we decided that we were new Africans because we were in a new place, a new land, and a new rulership. And we was mixed up with different Africans that was on the boat. We also got both Europeans and Indian beings. So we can't totally say that we're Africans in the sense of one from the continent. But we can say we are of African descent and we are African people because we were brought over here at gunpoint. And so we decided that we were new Africans based on the so-called new country that we was in. And so that became a concept. And when we, after we created the Republic of New Africa, that was one of the things that we said that we decide who we are. Kukulcan Khalil said we can decide that. So we decided to be the new African people based on the different cultures that was mixed on the boat, based on the different cultures that we got into when we came here. So the pure African probably don't exist or in a small kind of concept. But we believe that we are African people. We believe that we are docile in Africa because we didn't actually be here. We were brought here at gunpoint. So since this is a so-called new country, and we got a new mixture of different kinds of people in our blood, we decided we were New Africa. Totally different identification than being African-Americans or those kind of names, some of the other names they used to call us. We needed a name that stood out to represent this new government that we created. So we got Article 1 tells us what a New African is in our Constitution. I yield.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else want to add on to that?
I agree with Baba Rashid because a lot of black people in America at that time, we were all struggling to gain community control, to gain control of our health, to gain some type of rights. Some people wanted civil rights. Some people wanted human rights. We came together from various organizations and began to cite the reasons why we're coming together. And I believe that I believe that at that time we had enough individuals, we had enough brothers and sisters from various walks of life that we were able to come together and form this particular bond, kind of basing it on more things that we wanted to see for our people and ourselves versus our differences. And some of the items that are stated in the Code of Umoja is that we all have a common history, because most of us are the products of enslavement, inhumanity, all kinds of bestiality, all kinds of problems. We had heroes and sheroes that we collectively were able to cite whose shoulders that we stand on. We came through the whole legacy of chattel slavery. We came, most of us, through Jamestown, South Carolina. We were all in the five states of the South, and we know historically, based on facts, based on our presence, based on the conditions that were facing us in the 1950s, 1960s, and even beyond, since the time we were captured as the slaves at our villages in Africa, we all had a common root. We experienced some form of enslavement, and some of us were free before the 13th Amendment, and some of us were freed after, and we had our heroes like Gabriel Prosser, Denmark Vesey, Turner, Harriet Tubman. We had all of them to help us in our struggle, and there are thousands that were a part of this struggle. And we had to fight in the Civil War. We became spies. We had to use trickery, all types of things to get us to the point where we were at the point where we had to set up our own independent towns, which were later attacked. We had to be the recipients of Jim Crow laws, even to this day. So we were able to unite based on that fact, and it was amazing to me when I listened to the elders to know that we were very, very determined as groups, not just as individuals, that we wanted reparations. We agreed on a reparation, and our reparations included demanding the five states in the South and making sure that there were reasons why. We said those were the areas in which you utilized us. You worked us from sun up to sundown. You bred us. You raped us. You sodomized us. Every dirty thing that could happen to us, And as part of the recompense, we are asking for justice, and we're asking for ourselves to be paid. So I don't think anyone who knows any type of history, any of the minimum of history, can deny the fact that those are just the basic pieces of information that were able to unite us. And so we continue the legacy. We are continuing the legacy, and we're never going to stop, because we know that this struggle is just. It is for our people, not just individuals, and it is a total opposite of what you would expect under imperialism, capitalism, white supremacy, and racism. I yield.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to add to that? I want to chime in. Okay. I know Barbara C had mentioned the Constitution. The Constitution is a code of emotion. Up on the Article 1, it said New African Citizenship. Section 1, Citizenship by Birth. Each African person born in America is a citizen of Republic of New Africa. Section 2, Citizenship by Parentage. Any child born to a citizen of Republic of New Africa is a citizen of Republic of New Africa. Section 3, Citizenship by Naturalization. Any person not otherwise citizen of Republic of New Africa may become a citizen of Republic of New Africa by completing the procedure for naturalization and provided by the People's City Council. Those are individuals who might be from Dominica, might be from Cuba, might be from Haiti, might be from the motherland in Africa, different people that wasn't captured and brought to America, born in America. Those are the ones who are naturalized. My next question is, right, we know we have a new African Nation Day coming up. Does the individual have to be a conscious new African to participate in New African Nation Day, or you can be, you need to be an African people, African descent, to participate in New African Nation Day? That's a question for everybody.
Kind of repeat that. I kind of missed it.
Okay. I said, I know we got New African Nation Day coming up. I said, does a person have to be a conscious New African citizen to participate in New African Nation Day, or can it be anybody of African descent participating in New African Nation Day?
We've always had it open to the community, but we had always had a registration form for two reasons. One, trying to get them to understand that when they sign that they some kind of way become a new African, and also so that we could keep some kind of roster, because we keep talking about this new African thing, but the whole idea of us being new Africans, because it don't mean nothing until we get to the world court, that we get to the world to speak for ourselves, do our own kukutakalir, speak for ourselves, talk for ourselves, rather than other people talking for us. So the whole idea is getting recognized by the world. We are doing what the world said we have to do, what the United Nations says we have to do. We have to have a provisional government. So we created that kind of concept to get where we're trying to go. That's about all I can say about it. And by the way, we used to have Black Nation Day until a few years ago. It wasn't called New African Nation Day. It was Black Nation Day.
Yes, sir. Anybody else have anything to say? Add to that? Okay. I have a question for you, Bob Rashid. You know, I know you weren't original signer, so you've been there since day one, right? And I also know that this is National Women's Month, right? So could you tell us exactly who Queen Mother Moore is? You know what I'm saying? Who she was? Have you ever met her? Who exactly is she? What does she mean to the New African Nation? What she mean to the New African Independent Movement? From your perspective.
She is. Wow. You know, I get a little emotional because I spent a lot of time with her, you know. She was the vanguard of the nation. She had been a communist and she didn't like how they treated Paul Robeson when he was in prison, because they could have got him out, but they was doing a whole thing about free Paul Robeson, that kind of thing. And they kept on promising Queen Mother Moore and others the 40 acres and a mule. So it didn't start here. In fact, it started with the Dutch in New York in that area before the United States kicked them out. And they divided the stuff up, including slaves, to the favorite slaves, who were 40 acres. And so Queen Mother Moore went through some of that, and she spent 75 years of her life directly in the movement. And she was a lieutenant in Marcus Garvey's military. She was one of the people who, when the police told Garvey he could not talk, and so the next day, all of the black people came down with their guns, because the police had told Garvey they was going to kick him out of town. He was going to speak at the Masonic Hall. And Queen Mother Moore and some of them got together and came down. So when the police headed for the stage, I guess to, according to Queen Mother Moore, when they headed to the stage, I guess to pull Marcus Garvey off the stage, and all of the black folks stood up with their pistols in their hands, said, "Speak, Garvey, speak." And Queen Mother Moore said, Marcus Garvey said, "And as I was saying," and yeah, she was the vanguard of this movement. She was the first signer of the Declaration of Independence. She had the women's Ethiopian group up in the Cat Hills Mountain up there in New York. And she used to have us to come up there, and she preached to the brothers and the sisters how we had to do this and how we had to do that. And she was outspoken. She didn't pull no punches about the brothers or the sisters. And so she was a person that I guess you could love and hate. You hate her for her to get on your case, but you love the fact that she had spent 75 directly years of her life. And when she couldn't talk anymore, she was coming to the RNA meeting in a wheelchair. And so myself and John Chewis and a few others always went and got her. Sometimes she didn't want to come. She wanted the security there. So she was a master. And she also went to Kennedy about trying to get some money, millions of dollars, to deal with people who were being hung and that whole kind of thing. So she was all over the place. I can't even talk about the things that I know she did and the things that I heard about she did before I was born. But she was the master of what we are talking about. She was the first signer of the Declaration of Independence. And she tripped her brother up trying to be a tourist, so I don't know. Well, I get so emotional about it. The time that I sit at her feet to learn, not how to learn to be a man, because I first started out a so-called militant. Okay. And she taught us principles. She taught us about Mary Ott, down and explained it to us. Sometimes today, we get a little over there, and ignore a little something. And sometimes we scare the hell out of the people who don't know, so they refuse to talk. But she wanted everybody to speak. When she said something, she'd go around the room and ask us to record what we thought about it. What do you think that I just said? And so I can go on and on and on. And I am so grateful that I was able to sit in her feet and learn revolution and learn reparations and learn, what we had been through before I was born. And so she was the master person of this modern movement. I know everybody said Dr. Obadeli is, and he did form in Cobra. He did help form the RNA. He was an original founder, but Queen Mother Moore had done a bunch of work before we had formed the RNA or the Black Panther Party or in those groups. And so I'm just grateful that I had the opportunity to spend time with her, go pick her up for security, whatever. Me and John Curie and several others that have gone on before me did that job with the Queen. And she was the Queen. I mean, they named her in Africa. I told them she was the Queen before they gave her the name. She was very bold, very straightforward. Country all talk a woman if you didn't get it together. So I just say that she was the master of what we are doing today. The things that she taught all of us, including Dr. O'Jelly and Milton and all the rest of us. Subway, all of us citizens, all of us were grateful that she was really the leader of this movement. But she was doing it before we were doing it. Some of us were still in church or whatever. She was doing it there. So she was a master person, far as I'm concerned, of this reparation movement and also this liberation movement. How are you?
True indeed, true indeed. Anybody else want got anything to add to that before I add my next question?
Elder Mama Condi.
Okay, go ahead, Mama Condi.
Queen Mother Moore, she was one of the ones in 1920 that one of the 8,000 that Garvey and the UNIA ACL signed the plebiscite to be taken to the United Nations. Queen Mother Moore attended the 1968 Black Power Conference in Philadelphia at the Church of the Advocate, 18th and Diamond Street. Queen Mother Moore was an elder that when I was in my younger years, I was assigned to do security for her for the weekend, and there are pictures floating around on the internet of me doing security with Queen Mother Moore. Queen Mother Moore, I had the good fortune of being able to be designated by her as a daughter. And so you always got a chance to get some real good jewels of wisdom and knowledge spontaneously. Queen Mother Moore, along with Dr. John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben, used to just show up at Conyers Bookstore, 125th and Lenox Avenue in New York, and would just do these impromptu lectures for whoever happened to be at the store on any given day. Queen Mother Moore, it's being able to be with her and learn from her is an experience that as an elder I carry as an example of what an elder looks like, what an elder behaves like, and what an elder does. And I fashion my eldership in her honor.
Okay. My next question is it geared toward all the young people in the NAN committee, right? Brother Iken, Sister Zazada, President Samad, and Brother Bumani, and Brother Black Cloud, right? You know, what did it actually mean for the younger generation? What does myself to be involved in the vision of Pope? What does it actually mean? You know what I'm saying? What does it actually mean? You know what I'm saying? Why are you involved? What does it actually mean to you? Why are you committed?
This is about my eye. Well, for me, is you know, I have no other choice. Like, I know specifically why I came to the planet, what I came to do. Like, it's my blood responsibility. So I have, it's a life or death type of thing. I don't got no other choice. You know, it's like once you know the truth, it makes you very responsible. You have to be responsible and accountable. You got to hold yourself accountable once you know the truth, because when you are aiming to be in alignment with universal law and order, Ma'at, truth, justice, reciprocity, righteousness, unconditional love, you have a responsibility. You know what I'm saying? And I know, along with all of us, you know, we've made this commitment to ourselves and our people to fight for our birthright on the planet. We are the original caretakers of the planet, so it's our responsibility to make sure, to ensure that our future is secure. And I yield back.
Okay. Brother Hakan, Brother Bumani, Sister Bavada, Black Cloud.
Yeah, Freedom Land. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I think you have me on mute. But, yeah, the question was what made us get involved in, you know, in the Republic of New Africa? Is that what the question is?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What
okay,
it made you involved, what it means to you?
Yeah, as far as for me, you know, me and my signs of life, I didn't peep a whole lot of different, you know, religions, sciences, all types of things. So when I came across the Republic of New Africa and I started to research on it, you know what I'm saying? You know, Robin Williams, Dr. Obadeli, Queen Mother Moore, and all the rest. But I like the way they put down, you know, like 1968, like, look here, I want these five states, you know, plus they down with reparations, you know what I'm saying? So I love the way that they put down. So, I don't know everything. What I come in to do is help out, but I love how they put down in 1968. I like how they put down on them, you know? So that's why I'm here. And I want to live to see us free the land and really get the states and go to the world course and all that. But that's why I do what I do, because I love the way they put down. So I want to extend that and, give my all help and do everything I can do so we free the land. You know, even if it's for the next, like all the other generations to come. Basically. I love the way the Republic of New Africa put down on them in 1968. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm in this here. And they down with reparations, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, free the land.
Yes, sir. But I didn't mean this here. Go ahead, Sister Zada.
Free the land. Well, first of all, thank you for calling me young. That doesn't happen every day. I appreciate that. But, yeah, I'm just going to have to go along with Madam President and Brother Black Cloud and War in America. Well, I could read that book every day of my life and be fired up every day of my life just from reading that. So just, you know, being a new African is, to me, it's like Mama Condi, Elder Condi told me once before, is putting Africa back at the center of everything we do, whether we're studying, raising our children, the way we tell stories, all of that. That is important. And like Black Cloud just said, even if we don't see it, I don't care if I never see what I'm fighting for right now. If my children see it or the generations that come after me see it, I'll be okay with that. So I would just, like I said, I'm just going to compliment what they just said. And it's survival. It's always been survival for us. Like Madam President said, when you know better, you have to do better. You have to build on that foundation for the generation that came behind us, honor those who are no longer here, and assist the elders who are here with us now so we can continue this fight. But with that, I yield.
We're delaying this, Brother Bomani. One of the main reasons I got into this fight of nation building and just getting involved with the Republic of New Africa is being about what we say we're about. Too many times our folks talk about nation building. They talk about being a nationalist. They talk about culture. But they're not doing nothing to advance that. You know, they're not putting no programs down. They're not putting no revolutionary political education down. So, again, the the Republic of New Africa to honor our ancestors that fought for this, to honor our elders that are in the fight for this. You know, this was the only route that I could see us taking, you know, my family taking. It's just, it was time to put our boots on the ground and time to be about what we say we about. So that's the real reason why we're here, the real reason why we're in this fight, and the reason that we're going to be here. And it's an honor to be able to serve on a committee with these our comrades, these beautiful people, and hopefully we can continue to build. And I just want to continue to get the young folks, you know, continue to get the 30-year-olds fired up, the people that are under 40 especially fired up about nation building, and to just bring them this information so they can get down with us. I yield there.
Sure indeed. Sure indeed. Brother Locke, you got something to add to that?
Yes. Honestly and truly, I can't say it any better than the president said. That's just what it is for myself, boiled down in a nutshell. It's like when you know better, you do better. And although I was not brought into this the information and the understanding about the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa until later on, I try to make up a lot of time in everything that I do and the work that I put in. I really do feel that us as New Africans need to have our own, because as it's been shown throughout history, we have once had that before. And so I feel like it is our historical duty to our people to have that once again. I yield.
True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful reality, man. My next question is, if somebody wanted to get involved in Nation Day, they want to participate, how would they go about doing so?
Well, if you are interested in participating in Nation Day, you can go to Eventbrite. Registration is, you can register all the way up until the 13th, which is this coming up Saturday. Go to Eventbrite, type in NAND, N as in Nancy, A-N-D. N-A-N-D, NAND, New African Nation Day, the acronym for New African Nation Day, 53. So NAND 53, type it in, should be the event. You can go ahead and register. Registration is $25. It comes with a T-shirt. So on the site, once you click on NAND 53, you'll see registration, and you can pick whatever registration with whatever size T-shirt you need. To come with registration, you can also go on there to get a couple other extra items. Like, we have sweatshirts available, and we also have the New African flag. That's how you can do it. Participate. New African Nation Day will be online or via teleconference this year. But once you register, all the other information that you need to participate will be sent to you via email. I yield back.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Ockham. I'm going to say what you're going to say, bro.
No, that was what I was going to say. I was also going to say that if I don't know if they wanted to actually help plan for next year's Nation Day ceremony, they could go on the website, pg-rna.com, and then go to the Contact Us section of the website and then fill out that information if they so decide to help out with next year's Planning the Nation. How are you?
True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. You know, I want to thank y'all all for coming to the broadcast, sharing your knowledge and understanding. Thank you for the work you're doing, past, present, and the future. I'm sure Free Lamp opened the line for a couple of callers for a couple of questions right quick. See what they got going on. Okay. The first call is 562-212. Your line is open. You have anything to say or add on to you, so your line is open. 562-212, your line is open.
Well, greetings, Brother Bamandi, and greetings to the provisional representatives of the provisional government, the Sukari.
Revolutionary greetings. Brother, your mama Sukari. How you doing, sister?
Bless you, Mama Sukari. How are you, sweetie?
Oh,
good to hear your voice.
Moving and moving. It's good to hear you all, too, especially a lot of everything that has been said resonates with me. The fact of how we self-determine who we are and the responsibility that we have for our nation and the duty and moving ourselves forward. I'm glad to be close to this new African celebration. Although I'm not sure how free up I'll be, but I will definitely be trying to listen. So I can go on the site at any time to keep up with the information that's being or anything that's coming up.
Free the Land, this is Brother Akin. Yes, ma'am, you can go on the site as well as there is a Provisional Government Facebook page. Brother Bumani, I will defer to you on the name of the actual page. But there are two options, so the website as well as the Facebook page.
Okay. The Facebook page called Republic of New Africa.
Yeah, I have that site.
True indeed. You know, then the sister president, she also said how you can register. If you haven't registered, she told you how you can register as well by going to the event, right, if you haven't registered. And she also says the deadline, which is the 13th.
Yep. I heard that one. Okay, well, I'm just still setting up a house here in South Central Alabama, so... I will definitely try to put it on the agenda. Thank you all for the information and the presentation.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, Mom.
Free the land.
All right. Free the land. Body be necessary. Okay. I got another call. Open the line up. 786. 768, your line is open. Yeah, question coming for the guest. Please do so this time. Your line is open. 786-768, your line is open. You got a question, comment, or announcement, please do so this time. Your line is open.
Yeah, free the line, everybody. All comrades, free the line,
rest of the money. I am always.
Yes, ma'am.
I am. Enjoy the show. I'm Fatima Beth in Miami. I'm a citizen of the Republic of New Africa and former officer as well. And it's great just listening to the different members of the committee talk about Nation Day. It was beautiful hearing about Rajivi Shahra. She spoke about Queen Mother Moore. We never tire of listening to those accounts, do we? What is the thing that caught my attention the most about the PGRNA is how very, apart from the self-determination, of course, aspect, which is an instrument of international law, and everything we do goes along with international law, But what also caught me, my attention was the fact that it is the most democratic government that I have ever read about, even, where the citizen is the highest power. So any citizen, like myself, is represented by People's Center Council, and there's one People's Council, Center Council chair who functions with the government. Now, most governments have a platform where you have the president at the top, the vice president, the ministers, and so on. The PGRNA is very balanced. And I know we're talking about Nation Day, but I just wanted to say what I like most, one of the things. It's very balanced in that you have the People's Center Council and you have the People's Revolutionary Leadership Council as the executive. And even with the executive, everything is through a vote. Everybody has an equal vote. So that makes it like really super democratic and people friendly. Especially, it's just a beautiful, beautiful concept and beautiful ideology. And I do invite everybody listening to come attend Nation Day and see a bit about what we're speaking about. Thanks for the time, and I yield.
All right. We appreciate it, sister. We appreciate your work and what you're saying. We appreciate that. Free life.
Bye.
Okay. Okay. I have another question. Again, you know, this actually is a historical time in regards to in the history of provision of government by having the first ever female president and the first female vice president serving at the same time. Like, what actually does it mean to everybody in that committee? What did that actually mean to you? What is the significance of that? What does that mean to everybody on this NAD committee?
Yeah, again, I didn't quite get it. The question.
Okay. Okay. I was saying that we are the first female president and vice president serving at the same time in the history of the British Republic of Africa. I said, what does that mean to everybody individually? What does that mean? What does that signify?
Well, we've always encouraged that in our Declaration of Independence. And during the time of Dr. Obadiah's incarceration, we did have a female in the southern region that was actually the president when the incarceration of Dr. Obadiah, which is about 30 years ago. Dari Abubakari was the president at the incarceration of Dr. Obadiah. She didn't have to give it up, but she decided, well, you know, she's kind of far from Dr. Obadiah, so she gave it back to him when he got out of prison. So we've always had women in the lead because we came through a period of civil rights, and even after the Civil War, the women that did all these things did not get the credit for that. And those of us, particularly those of us who were born in the South and some of us who came to the nation that had to leave the nation because we didn't see them getting credit, you know. Black Panther Party, a lot of other groups, that was a good group, and the women did the work, but they didn't have the power. So we noticed all of that. Black Panther Party was before us in terms of its foundation. And than some of the other places, RAM and a lot of other groups. And we noticed that particular thing, and we felt that if we were going to have a nation, we have to have both sides of the tracks. We look and we see that a nation is built of women and men, and it's balanced. Also, the children come in later. So that was a thing that we just kind of put in our Declaration of Independence. Still have some sexism in the RNA, but they can't practice openly. But if they practice openly, we are going to deal with it then and there. And the sisters don't have to speak up about that because it's in the Declaration of Independence. As people like me and I'm sure Brother Black Cloud and we will speak on that issue, and we will straighten it out, and the person will have two choices. Speaking as a male, either correct it or leave. So that's been our philosophy. So it's very important to me that we have balance so that we can hear both sides of the sexual thematic that we are hearing. So to me, I was, you know, one of the people that kind of pushed this because the last two or three administrations that we've had, we had some women in it, but we didn't have a women's total leadership. And so we have that now. So we need to historically find out what they're going to do since they're in power, because their power is no different than a male. What I'm saying is the president got the same power that the ex-president had. The vice president has the same power that the ex-president has. And it's just as important and it's just as equivalent. There is no difference in the power because of the gender. And so we've kind of practiced that all these years, and we're bearing some fruit from it now. And you get a chance to see how that leadership is going to go. Not only do I think it's important, I would support, you know, them as long as they deal with, you know, the Declaration of Independence and those things that made us what we are. So I think it's very, very important this day and age and time, the confusion, that we see what this administration is going to be. It is a female administration, but it is a nation that we all, if we're in those offices, have to go back. So I think it's very, very important. And I'm a little bit excited to see, hope that I can live a little bit to see what's going to happen, you know. So it's important. It's important to the world, too, because we are a provisional government, and so we're trying to prove to the world that we have a democratic process. So we have to practice what we preach. And I think now we are practicing what we preach. I yield.
True indeed.
Free the land. It's Brother Bomani in Birmingham. I'm just excited to be a part of this thing that's going on with the provisional government, Republic of New Africa, with these sisters in the lead, leading us. You know, a lot of times in our community, the narrative is women are to follow the men, you know, or women are to, all behind men and are to be protected by men, so on and so forth. But that narrative is being broken. You know, it was time anyway to see this within the government. So I'm excited that my little girl and all the students that we teach and all the youngsters that we are around, that they're able to see this and they're able to experience this firsthand. Because historically, for us to win, you know, our women have to be on the front lines, you know. As we look through history, we see that women have led us to historical victories throughout the diaspora. So I'm excited to see this administration flourish, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Frieda Lands, this is Asada. For me to have two new African queens in leadership just means one thing to me, the birth of a nation. And that's, you know, we do that with our minds, with our wounds, with our spirits all the time. So it's a great experience. I'm excited to be a part of the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa, like my husband just said, to have our young warrior queens here that we teach, see that we can have our own, you know, especially in the light of what's happening in the U.S. with Kamala Harris and them thinking that, you know, you could just go to a HBCU and not have any principles to go behind that to be in leadership. But this is a great example. Like I said, I felt like my vote counted this time for once in my whole entire life. And the people I wanted actually got elected. So, yes, I'm feeling great about it. And it's a wonderful thing. So congrats to you, queens. And we here for you. I yield.
Yeah, free to learn.
Where,
bro? Y'all free to land, y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Black Cloud.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, as far as that, I'm gonna just put it like this here, right? I ain't never really been on like, you know, we gotta follow men, or follow women, all that type vibe. Only thing I know is that, like, Samaya, you know, and Mama Ayo. They bio, they ain't just like, oh, they president. They been doing work. You feel what I'm saying? They been doing stuff in the community. Like, I was kind of shocked on certain type of levels, but they been out here doing work. So that's what I like about it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad, and I got their back. But that's what I appreciate. We ain't just got just to have no president that was president. We got a vice president and a president who been doing work. You know, it's all other countries, all type of levels. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So that's what I like about it, too, at the same time. These some strong sisters. They got a lot of knowledge, and I appreciate them at the same time. Yeah, free to learn.
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else got anything to say about that? Want to chime in on that?
Free to learn. This is by my eye. What does it mean to me? I mean, I just feel like, you know, like I said before, it's my blood responsibility, and I just walking in the footsteps of all the other queen sisters that came before me. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen example after example after example, you know? And even the elders that I sit at the feet at today, I mean, it's just constant example. So I feel like, you know, it's my blood responsibility to continue the legacy. And I yield.
True indeed. True indeed. True indeed.
This is Mama Io.
Go ahead.
I never felt that it was just me as a female running. I felt that because of the training that I've had and the understanding of what was going on internally within the nation, the contradictions that we had to face over the last so many years, and I just made a conscious decision that I wanted to be a part of a rebuild process, because the more I read, the more information that I received from the elders. And I truly, truly am. I'm humbled to still be able to reach out to elders, reach out to Baba Rashid and Mama Kandi and Baba Ukali and Mama Nkichi and Sister Epwa. I mean, just so many people who were a part, and to know that they're still conscious citizens. They still believe in the Republic of New Africa. Brother Akinyele, Brother Osajifo, people who were definitely a part of the New African Independence Movement, Brother Dimitri Marshall. I mean, there's just so many that we keep meeting. Joe Epps, there's just many. And just to know that we decided to run, I decided to run, we decided to run because we felt more service. And what is humbling is that what we were talking about, how we saw us navigate to come back to who we once were, the dreams and the visions of the founding mothers of fathers who wrote, who sacrificed their lives, who are still in prison, who are still prisoners of war. It's just that call that you got to keep pressing forward, because this provisional government is not wrong. You keep saying it. So that's why I ran. I didn't even think about me being. I was just a New African revolutionary national Pan-African freedom fighter. And that's the reason why I step forward, and I yield.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
Free the land.
By any means, sir.
I hear what the sisters are saying, and I appreciate what they're saying, but we have to deal with the world like it is. We live in a racist, sexist society, and it is important that we recognize at this time, at this place in history, that we have achieved things that many governments haven't done, that's already government. And we have to recognize that they are women, because we live in a society that don't think women, particularly black women, can do anything. And they have demonstrated that they can do it. So we have to recognize the gender, because we live in a society that has not recognized the genocide of our race. And, you know, I came from a matriarchal family, so my sisters and my mother and all of them work like hell to try to achieve things. So we have to recognize that this is a female-ran government, and we need to tell the world that. Everybody knows that, because we live in this sex society that doesn't give that recognition. So we have to beat our drums and say these things to the world, say these things to people who resent that happening, and two-thirds of them resent that. So I think it's important that we spell out what our government is. We know about the work that they've done. They got a history of that, particularly Sister Kofi, because we was into some other kind of things that we talked about. I just recognized it not too long ago. So they've been doing the work. But the problem is they never got the recognition. So what we are doing, talking about trans female-ran government, we know that they got to go by the same rules that everybody else do. But they have to have the opportunity to do that. So my whole thing is that we have to deal with the world like it is. We live in a sexist society all over. And so when we accomplish certain things like what we're doing now, I think this is a big accomplishment for us. You know, 45 years old, and the United States government is 250 years old. France is 250 years old. And they haven't accomplished that yet. So I think we ought to say this about it being a female ran thing. I think we ought to say it with pride, that we have been big enough to realize that we are not going to go anywhere until we equalize the sexes, so that we can get the knowledge and the information from both sides and the experience that we have in this racist society. I hear.
True indeed. You know, I want to thank everybody coming to their platform, sharing that we understand it. I want to say long live the New African Independent Movement, Free the Land. Go on to their website and look up Nation Day. Look up Nation Day and Long Live Resistance. Free the Land.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.